My guest at this time is Mike Hammond. He's the chief counsel at Gun Owners of America. And ever since the horrific slaughter at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut back in December, the gun debate has been front and center here in this country. And just here at the start of this week, there are a slew of stories that we want to get Mr. Hammond's analysis on, from the UN to state lawmakers and their decisions on guns to what may or may not happen up in the halls of Congress. And Mike, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Hello, Greg, and hello, Radio America.
Well, one of the things that folks like you have been focused on for a long time, it's kind of been under the radar in most of the national media, and that's the United Nations look at guns. There's been this UN arms trade treaty known as ATT that's been debated for a while. It's been derailed by the U.S. and others at different times. Now the Obama administration is on board with this, and the vote today was 154-3 with the U.S. in favor of this, which essentially regulates the international arms trade. Folks in the Obama administration at the UN say this would not impact the gun rights of law-abiding Americans, certainly as it pertains to gun purchases and so forth in the United States. But I know that your organization and others are very concerned about this, that this could somehow end up trumping the Second Amendment. So tell our listeners why this is such a big deal.
What it does, basically, is far beyond what's purported to do. It requires this country keep a national gun registry of gun owners. In addition, it could be used as a justification for banning semi-autos and banning handguns without any further legislation. It could be interpreted as self-implementing, and by an executive order, Obama would simply ban all handguns using this treaty. Finally, in the various breakout panels to discuss the treaty, they made it clear that it is intended to at least open the possibility that we're going to have micro-stamping. What that is if you want to own a gun in America, it has to have the capacity of putting this small little signature on every cartridge which is fired. And that technology may very well not be available. At any rate, even if it's available, it's going to be very expensive. And the UN Arms Trade Treaty could do all of this. The good news is that in connection with the budget resolution, Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma offered an amendment defunding the Arms Trade Treaty and sign and signature of it, and that amendment got 53 votes. So in order to be ratified by the United States Senate, the ATT would require 67 votes, and there are a majority of the Senate, 53 senators, who are now absolutely against it. So it has no chance of being ratified, but of course we expect to see an effort by the Obama administration to enforce it even without ratification.
Let's talk about some of the state issues now. There seems to be this consensus on the national level, and we'll talk about that later, about whether it's accurate, that the movement for stronger gun control laws at the national level seems to be petering out a little bit. But on the state levels, we obviously saw very quick and very strong gun control legislation coming out of New York. We saw it in Colorado. Maryland's been pushing it. Now we're seeing it in Connecticut, where, of course, the elementary school shooting happened. California's pursuing some things here. The Connecticut legislation, which is only a governor's signature away from happening now, talks about registries for existing magazines because they ban high-capacity magazines, expansion of their assault weapons ban, immediate universal background checks, minimum age for purchasing a semi-automatic rifle to age 21. What in this legislation stands out most to you?
Well, on the day that Newtown happened, Connecticut was one of the four most anti-gun states in the country. It already basically banned substantial numbers of semi-automatics and registered them if you wanted to purchase it. So Connecticut was anti-gun. The anti-gun policy didn't work out very well for them or for the kids at Newtown. In fact, all it did is it telegraphed to Adam Lanza, you can get your 15 minutes of fame, shoot up a classroom of first graders, and you don't have to worry that there's anyone there who's going to shoot back. In effect, Connecticut's laws were responsible for the massacre at Newtown. Now they are taking the classification of semi-autos, which was previously banned, and extending it to most of the guns in existence. So they're banning most of the guns in existence. To the extent that you want to keep the one you currently have, you have to be on a registration list. And the same thing is for the magazine you currently have. You have to have your magazine registered. Interestingly, at federal level, we are opposing the national registry bill on the basis that it would create a national registry, and all the liberals are running around saying, oh, no one said anything about registry. But lo and behold, in every state in the country where the anti-gun forces have the capacity to establish a registry, they have. So Connecticut tells us what they want to do at the federal level and would do if they had the capacity politically to do so.
Obviously, the states that are pursuing these stronger gun laws at this point are in more liberal states, and Republicans are actually doing pretty well in terms of governorships and majorities in state legislatures and in the majority of the country. But even if this effort to strengthen gun control laws fails on Capitol Hill, do you fear that given the fact that Democrats and gun control advocates run the states that are in many cases the most populous around the country, that those rights will pretty much be eroded regardless of what happens in Washington?
Well, the interesting thing was that even though it's torment, I tend to watch MSNBC, which is like having a listening device in Hitler's bunker. And this morning, they were looking at the Connecticut law, Connecticut banning virtually all long guns, Connecticut registering all of its citizens. And the first thing the commentators on MSNBC said is it wouldn't reach the problem because it doesn't ban all handguns. So the day after the Connecticut legislature essentially bans all long guns in existence, virtually, the anti-gunners turn around and say, yeah, now we need to ban this new class of guns, which wasn't covered by the gun ban you just passed. So that's the first interesting thing. The second interesting thing is that the gaggle of reporters spent the whole morning predicting that maybe they could win gun bans at federal level. And the way they would win it is by having Harry Reid bring up this universal registry gun bill, maybe spend 2 or 3 weeks with Reid offering a series of amendments coordinated with Barack Obama and Joseph Biden that would allow him to spend 2 weeks accusing the Republicans as supporting rapists, as supporting murderers, as supporting terrorists. So if Republicans move to proceed to this bill, they can expect 3 weeks of politicized attacks of the most vicious form. And as a result, we are advising Republicans in the United States Senate to oppose moving to an anti-gun bill.
What kind of reaction are you getting to that? You mentioned that
pretty
in our
good.
Last conversation. What's the number looking like?
Pretty good. I am cautiously optimistic that we may be able to get as many as 44 or 45 Republicans on board in opposition to the motion to proceed. And if that happens, I would guess that a half dozen red state Democrats are going to go with them. So we are cautiously optimistic that we will be successful in keeping gun control from coming to the Senate, which would by far would be the best outcome, because otherwise we're just going to have a 3-week Obamacare type bribe-a-thon with Harry Reid offering amendments intended to destroy the opposition and offering amendments intended to buy off the votes he needs in order to pass the thing on final passage.
Most of the action of that right now, of course, is in the Senate, but a New York Congresswoman, Carolyn Maloney, also making news, Mike, in that she is coming up with a push for mandatory liability insurance for gun owners. The Firearm Risk Protection Act would require gun buyers to have a qualified liability insurance policy, and if they don't have it after this bill would supposedly be in effect, there could be a fine as high as $10,000. How do you react to that
proposal? There are about 7 states that have introduced legislation like that in the state legislatures. And now, of course, as you say, we have a bill at federal level, but it is clear what the intent is. First of all, the intent is to impose an insurance requirement which will take gun ownership out of the hands of the poor, out of the hands of the black, And incidentally, these are the same people who are whining about the 1%, and yet they're imposing an incredibly regressive requirement intended to take constitutional rights away from people who are poor, people who are black. We react to it in this way. It is racist, it is classist, it is disgusting. Wow. And it won't pass.
Mike, what's the best timetable on when this is all going to hit the stage up on Capitol Hill?
Harry Reid will move to proceed to gun control next Monday, probably. And at that point, the first test vote will be whether or not he can proceed to his gun control buffet.
And if he can't, then that pretty much ends it in the Senate. If he can, hold on for the next couple of weeks?
And if he can hold on, you expect that Reid will seize the floor and orchestrate votes intended to destroy Republicans.
Well, we'll certainly be following, and we'll be glad to have you back then to analyze. Mike, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Mike Hammond is chief counsel at Gun Owners of America. Learn more about them at gunowners.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.